For our last Sunday of 2021. So the title of my sermon this morning is Staying on Course. Staying on Course. Of course, I'm talking for 2022. 1 John chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 15 to 17. Verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for our Christmas services we had last week, Lord, and the celebrations that all of our families had through the week. Lord, I pray that everyone was reminded of you are the reason, and we're thankful for our blessings, for the family time that we had, Lord. But most of all, we're thankful for our church family here that we can gather together to just praise you, worship you, and preach your word. Be with me now as I preach. Be with every heart, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I mentioned, I've been preaching through the book of 1 John, and it just so happened where I was at, I felt correlated to a sermon, you know, kind of a resolution sermon. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So I would say that's kind of a theme verse, if you will. Staying on course for 2022. Now, by way of introduction, I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I don't normally tell a lengthy story, but I want to tell you a story that I believe will kind of illustrate staying on course. So bear with me if you would. So I graduated college in 2007, okay, in December of 07, and I was looking for a teaching job in 2008. So I get married to CJ in June of 2008, and you know, here I am, if those of you that are my age or older, I'm 36, you remember 2008, the housing market burst, and we were in what they called the Great Recession. How many remember that? You guys remember that? The economy was not good. It was hard to find a job. So here I am. I graduated from college, bachelor's degree, to be a teacher. My college loans were coming due. I had to start paying on them. My parents paid some, and I paid some. So I had to start paying on them. I'm married now. I have a wife, you know, and myself to take care of my family. And I can't find a job. I'm like, "Lord, what are you doing?" Right? So long story short, the only place I could find a job, because the economy was bad, all the school districts in Ohio were pretty much cutting teachers instead of hiring teachers. Okay, I had many schools that wanted to hire me, but they said, "We don't have an opening." You know, just to give you an example, there was a job posted for Lebanon schools, and I got up, got in a suit, show up, because I applied online like you're supposed to. Nobody ever called, and I got dressed in a suit. I show up and I walk into the school, because I'm a go-getter. Okay. I said, "Hey, can I speak to the principal? I saw there was a job posted, and I haven't heard." They said, "No, you can't talk to the principal today." I said, "Why not?" "Oh, he's busy." And I said, "I'll wait. I'll just wait." So I sat in the office there, and I waited literally. It was like 2.5 hours. Finally, the principal, I guess, because of my, you know, gumption to stay, finally comes out and talks with me, and he says, "What are you here for?" I said, "Oh, I'm here for that job posting you had." And he said, "Oh, that really wasn't a job. We had it posted, but we cut a teacher from one position, and we hired that teacher internally." Right, if that makes sense. So it wasn't really an opening. Okay. So sure enough, I find a job working at Toys R Us for $7.50 an hour. I was excited, like, "Thank you, Lord, for that." And they wouldn't even give me 40 hours a week, by the way. They were giving me like 27 to 30, and I'm begging for more hours. And there was no work to be found. So I'm telling you this for this reason. Then I get a phone call from a friend I went to college with. It was in August. Said, "Hey, Kurt, are you still looking for a teaching job?" I said, "Yes. Yes, do you know of one?" "Yeah, we do. It's down in a place called Carrollton, Kentucky." I said, "Well, I've never heard of that. Where's that place?" Right? Roger knows it. "Where is this place at? I mean, it could have been on the moon for as long. I didn't know it." They said, "Oh, yeah, Carrollton, Kentucky." It was August. The school had already started. I didn't notice at the time, but a teacher had quit after 2 weeks. So she calls me, "Hey, you still looking for a job? If you come down to interview, they will hire you on the spot, I bet you." And I said, "Okay, great. I'm excited." Well, that was back before I had GPS on my phone, right? 2008. And I wasn't rich like you guys. I didn't have a Garmin or a TomTom or whatever those things were. So I had to do what? Go on MapQuest, type in my directions, print it out, and hope to God I get there, you know? Hope to God they're correct. So anyways, if you don't know how to get to Carrollton, this is going somewhere, I promise. Stay with me. If you don't know how to get there, you have to take 71 toward south into Kentucky, and then where 71 splits off from 75, you take 71 towards Louisville, and you're about halfway there when it splits, okay? It's a far ways. And so anyways, I go down there, and as I'm driving, I'm so excited. I'm in the car like, oh, Lord, I'm going to get a teaching job. I'm so excited. I don't have to work at Toys R Us anymore. Like, maybe I'll make more than $7.50 an hour. Like, I'm excited here. And I'm in the car, and I'm following my directions. Okay, 71, follow it for, you know, 17 miles before you get off and go where it breaks apart from 75. Well, I'm in the car, listen to my radio, as most people do, and what do you, sing along with your radio, right? I do that. Belting it out like, Lord, I'm so excited. Thank you. I'm having a little praise party. Like, man, I'm going to get this job. Here comes 71. I missed it. Where it breaks off. If you've ever driven down there, it's easy to miss if you're not paying attention. And I'm just driving, and I'm like, man, I feel like this was more than 17 miles. Like, where am I? Next thing I know, I'm in Williamstown, Dry Ridge, just south of Dry Ridge. Is that Williamstown or Williamsburg, whatever? Williamstown. And I stop. I'm like, wait a second. I think I missed a turn. I didn't have a GPS, mind you, so I didn't have a map. I wasn't able to pull out my phone and bring up a map, right? Everybody understands who's my age and older. And I'm like, so I get off the exit, I go to a gas station. I said, hey, I'm headed to Carrollton, Kentucky. And they're like, what are you down here for? Okay. Could you point me in the right direction? And he said, oh, you got to head all the way back up to where 71 splits and then take it down. And I said, why can't I just cut across? You know, if I'm down here, Carrollton's down here on 71, 75. Why can't I just cut across? Oh, no. He said, there's not really a good road to take you over. You're going to have to go back to where you lost your course. Amen. And you're going to have to get back on the right course to head where you're going. That's the only way you're going to get there. So, Christian, by way of introduction, I'm saying many times we get off course and then we're so far off our course that we just want a shortcut. Ah, well, give me a shortcut to get back to where I need to go. God says, no, I need you to go back to where you left me. I need you to go back to where you quit on church. I need you to go back to where you quit on your Bible reading. That's the only way you're going to get to where you need to go. And so that's kind of, you know, what God laid on my heart this morning. Now, to finish that story, I finally made it. And they did. They hired me on the spot. And I was so excited. So excited. Until I saw how the kids were. No, but staying on course. So, Christian, I'm here today to encourage you and challenge you that if you have gotten off course in your life, in your walk with God, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, okay? I always want to make that clear. I'm talking about if you're truly saved, but you feel so far away from God, go back to where you left them. Go back to the basics of being involved in the Word of God, or being in the Word of God, being involved with the people of God, around the house of God. Just go back to where you left them. Get back on course and stay the course. Three things I want you to notice this morning. First of all, I want to talk about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Second of all, I want to talk about a sure future. A sure future. And then lastly, I want to talk about serving. Serving God, or just serving. But first of all, I want you to notice we see spiritual growth. Look at verse 15 for me, please. Notice it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay? Now look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, Christian, in order for us to have spiritual growth in our lives, we need to understand we're not supposed to love the things of this world. Now, when it says love not the world, I know some people are like, what do you mean? Doesn't everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, first of all, I want you to understand, yes, the Bible's clear, we are to love people. We are to love the people of the world. But the Bible's also very clear, we're not to love the things of this world and the systems of this world. You say, well, why not? Because the Bible makes it very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it talks about the devil is the god of this world. That's why we're not supposed to love this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. You see, folks, the Bible tells us that the devil is who runs this world. God just kind of stepped back and one day he's going to fix it all. But right now, he lets the devil kind of run the world. And he appeals to hearts, he appeals to minds, and he appeals to us to come to him. But he's kind of hands off like, I'm not going to control what's going on in the world. So he says, Christian, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that correlates to having, how do you get to the place where you're not, you know, wrapped up in the fashions of this world or wrapped up in the music that's popular and I'm so infatuated with what's going on. How do you get there? By having spiritual growth. Amen. Having spiritual growth. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. That's pretty strong right there. God, that's awful mean what you said there. That's what he says. He says you're an enemy of God. Once again, you love the people. Let's make that very, 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 very clear. You love the people of the world, not the world's systems. In other words, Christian, if we go and look at your playlist on your phone, amen, is it going to demonstrate that you have a love of the world and don't even know what a Christian song is? Amen. Amen. If we go and look at what you watch on TV or what you spend your time doing, look, I'm not trying to legislate your life. You do whatever you want. Okay? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Do you have to listen to a Christian song always? No. In fact, sometimes I get tired of hearing the same song over and over. I want to switch it up. No matter how good some of the songs are, I want to hear a different one, right? So I get it. You're not going to listen to a Christian song always. I get it. But if you're listening to songs, and there's a difference between a Christian song, maybe one that's neither Christian nor secular, and one that's over here. Amen? If it's got every cuss word in the book, it's talking about all the stuff inappropriate, you know that's not of God. That's of the world. Christian, we need to stay on course by building our lives and our families, parents, on the Word of God and church, not the pleasures of this world. You see, many times, parents, you know, being a youth pastor, right? I've seen this a lot. Many times parents think when their kids are little, their kid, you know, because every kid, I mean, for the most part, loves coming to church, right? I know there's a few examples, a few exceptions, right? But for the most part, every kid loves being around church. You know, pastor makes them feel special. The Sunday school teachers all make them feel special. You know, all of it. We do an excellent job at making our children feel welcome and loved and special, right? So they do. They love coming to church. And so a lot of times parents see their kid and, oh, they love coming to church. Well, if it's not backed up at home, by the time they become a teenager or maybe older teens or maybe young adults, all of a sudden you're like, what happened? They don't like church anymore. They don't like the Word of God. What happened? There was no spiritual growth because it wasn't backed up at home. So Christian parent, I'm here to warn you, if you have a child who loves church, that's great, but it still needs to be backed up at home. Don't take it for granted. Oh, my kid loves church. Oh, they're a great kid. They don't want anything to do with the world right now. Yeah, they don't right now. But the devil is pretty tempting. The devil's pretty tough, folks. The devil will get them if it's not backed up at home. Okay? Me, my child included. Believe me, I'm not saying you do this, man. I'm saying, hey, I need to remind myself of that. It needs to be backed up at home. Christian, we don't need to make the church more like the world. We need the church to be more like God and more like Christ. You know, I was kind of, this is kind of a funny thing. In our society today, I mean, I don't want to sound like old man, get off my lawn, right? But by and large, we would all agree that our society, our secular society, our society is less Christian today than it has ever been, right? We would all agree to that. But if you look up the statistics of people that go to church, I'm not talking about those that say, I'm a Christian, I believe the Word of God. I'm talking about just people that attend a church. There's more people in church today than there's ever been, right? Did you know that? I'm not talking about people who, if you ask them if they're a Christian, they might go to a church but say, no, I'm not a Christian. But I'm talking about the people who attend churches. There's so many mega churches around the country. So why is our society worse off today than it's ever been? Because we don't have more God in church, we have more of the world in church. I understand certain things naturally. I totally get that. You know, we don't go to church in a horse and buggy anymore. I get that. You know, we don't have candles, right? We have lights. Thank God we have heat and air. Praise the Lord. So, certain things change. I get that. But by and large, it should come from the Word of God. Not, you know what, let me just attract more people to hear the Word of God by just making it super fun. there's something more fun out there in the world. I promise you. No matter how much I love church, going to like Reds game or a Bengals game is more fun. It is. Now, I don't love it more. Understand. Hey, Kurt's a heretic. Pastor Kurt's a heretic, right? I'm saying there's more fun things out there to do. If all you're trying to do is attract people through fun and games and I'll make it exciting. No, it should be about the Word of God. It should be about letting people know that the church is different because we don't follow the things of this world, but we follow the things of God. So Christian, let me just remind you today that spiritual growth is what's necessary to stay on course for 2022. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Amen. Another thing about spiritual growth, Christian, is you need to stay on course with loving the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." It's talking about the Word of God is what he's referencing. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Christian, have you lost your love for the Word of God? If so, no spiritual growth is happening in your life. Again, God smacks me with it. Kurt, remember to be in the Word of God day and night. That's a challenge. Spiritual growth to stay on course. But then secondly, we see we have a sure future. We have a sure future. What do I mean by that? I mean not a temporary, right? But an eternal future that we can look forward to. Look at verse 15 again. I know we're going to read these verses a lot. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Why? Look at verse 17. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." That's why he says, love not the world or the things in the world. Why? Because the world's going to pass away. It's going to go. It's going to be gone. You know, Christmas just passed, and as I mentioned last week and also already, in prayer, we always need to remember that Christmas is about Christ. Okay? But not only that, but another thing that I love about Christmas is it also should remind us that it's not about the gifts you give and such. It's about your family. It's about your relationships and people that you love, you want to spend time with. So, number one, it's about Christ. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying it also should remind us it's not about the things that'll pass away. That gift that you're not going to like 6 months from now. Or that gift that you use up and is gone 6 months from now. It's about your family. It's about Christ. It's also about your family and your loved ones and those you want to spend time with. It's about a sure future. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. I'm going to read all three of these. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see, you guys know I love sports. I love sports. I love baseball. I love basketball. I love football. I love sports. But let me just give an example where one moment you're amazing at sports, and then before you know it, you can't even play anymore. You know how many times I have people say, "Hey, Kurt, enjoy it while you can play because there's going to come a time, you know, where you can't play anymore." That's not a sure future, folks. Sports can be a sense of enjoyment. It can have, you know, a fulfilling sense of, you know, I enjoy being around other people and playing and such. And some of you are like, "I'm not into sports." No, I know. But there's a whole lot of parents that, like, push their kids into sports. And again, I love sports. You know, one day a week, 2 days, whatever. I mean, there's an appropriate level of being involved in sports. But if you're so involved in sports that you can't be involved, number one, you don't have family time. You know how many times I hear, you know, people are so involved in sports, like, "Oh, we ran from here to there, here to there, and here to there." Did you see your, you know, say you have multiple kids and you're running there, like, did you even see your other kid this week at all? Like, no, I saw him on Tuesday. It's Friday night. Maybe we'll see something, right? It's just, there's an appropriate level of being involved in sports. But God should come before that. You know, I hate to say this because I don't want to be mean or anything, but man, it makes me sad when I see year after year people in our youth group who can't be involved in youth outings, can't be involved in Sunday school because they miss it because of sports so often. And then all of a sudden, and I've been youth pastor for, you know, what, 16 years now or something? I lose track sometimes, but you know how many people I've seen go through, they're not involved because of sport, and then they get out of high school, and they don't even play sports in college. Not that that should matter, right? But I'm saying they don't even play it in college. And I'm like, man, you invested all that time, all that money, and didn't have them involved in church. just for them to stop playing when they're 17 or 18? What a waste, right? Now, again, I get enjoyment out of it. So, again, you know, it's not a waste for me because I love softball. I love basketball. I get enjoyment out of these things. I'm going to be playing until I can't, okay? Until they have to throw me off the court or throw me off the field, drag me off the field. Softball, I'm going to be playing until I'm 80. Please, Lord, until I die or I'm 80, all right? I love softball. So I get enjoyment out of it. But God comes first. God comes first. So, anyways, a sure future. That was just a side note. You're welcome. Instead of investing in God's kingdom, we invest our time and our money in so many other things of the world, but then not in God's kingdom. That's what that was about. Remember that this world is temporary and not eternal. The only sure future you will have, Christian, is in Christ. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, you don't have a sure future. Well, actually, you do. You have a sure future in hell. Amen. I'm just trying to help you. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ so you can have a sure future in heaven when you die. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 and 25 says this, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." And that's repeated. Well, it was repeated. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 also says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." So, Christian, if you're here today, let me just remind you, let me just encourage you with an end of year message. To stay on course for the Lord, invest your time, invest your energy into the things of God, because that's the only thing that's going to give you a sure future. Nothing else, anything else in this world, you invest in your job. Look, be a good worker, be a good, you know, whatever. But if you invest all your time and energy into your job and not into your family, guess what? You could lose your job tomorrow. Right? Be a good worker. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying invest in your family. Invest in the things of God. Amen. And then lastly, let's stay on course with serving. Look at verse 16 again. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You see, I'm pointing out the pride of life. Church, we have a tendency to have pride in the things that we do. And there's a level of pride that's good. Like, I take pride in my house looking good. I take pride in, you know, eating healthy or whatever, right? I take pride in, you know, my yard looking good, whatever. There's a level of, you know, taking pride in things that's good. If, you know, understand the context I'm telling you, right? But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Why? "For it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth." Oh, praise the Lord, look at this job I have, look how much money I have. Yeah, God gave it to you. God gave you the ability to earn a living. God gave you the ability to, you know, buy that house. God gave you the ability to, you know, teach your kid, you know, whatever the ability is. Let's make sure that the pride of life doesn't get into our head, but that we remember and not forget to give God the glory for all things. Give God the glory for your children. Give God the glory for your job that you have if you're successful at it. But if you're not successful but you still have a paycheck, give God the glory for that too, right? Give God the glory for these things in our life. An example in the Bible is King Nebuchadnezzar. It's kind of a hard word to spell there. But King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel was very prideful and lost everything. Daniel chapter 4 verse 30 gives us insight to his attitude. It says this, "The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Do you see how self-centered that is right there? And do you know what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar? Well, he failed to give God the glory, and Daniel came in and prophesied what would happen. Next thing you know, King Nebuchadnezzar lost everything, and he was in a field eating grass. Is what I mean, there's a lot more to it, right? But that's what he ended up doing. In a field eating grass like an ox. Like a crazy person, too, you know? He lost his mind. He really did. Lost his mind and went crazy because he failed to give God the glory for the things in his life. So Christian, here's what I'm getting at. Instead of the pride of life, we should have the example that Jesus set for us of serving others. Instead of having this prideful, like, look what I did. I'm an important person. You should serve me. Right? No. Jesus says, hey, I'll give you the example. Amen. I'm going to serve others. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Christian, in 2022, I'm challenging you to stay on course in serving other people and serving God. But a church, a sign of a good church, is when everybody comes to church with a mindset of serving others. Do you know that? That's a sign of a good church. And we do a great job here. There's a lot of people here who take time and effort to serve others around. And by the way, I don't mean serving by just being a teacher, right? People sometimes think that's it. I mean serving others by someone you sit next to, maybe had a bad week, and you kind of, maybe you saw a Facebook post where they're struggling, and you come in, give them a hug, and say, hey, I'm praying for you. If there's anything you need, I'm here for you. Maybe somebody lost a loved one, and you decide to make a meal and send it to their house. That's serving others. I'm not talking about preaching and teaching. I mean, you know, that's a way of serving others as well. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there's way more ways to serve others than just preaching and teaching. You come in, you give them a visitor comes in, you shake their hand, make them feel welcome like you actually want them here. That's a way of serving others. And again, we do a great job at this church. I'm not lecturing you. I'm just saying, let's continue. Let's stay on course. Right? Title of my sermon, stay on course. Let's stay on the course, church. That's what we're doing. Galatians chapter 5 says this, verse 13 and 14. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, as long as our church keeps the mindset, we're here to serve others. You know, pastor sets the example. Always say, you know, hey, I'm here to give you. You know, you heard him say that. Sets the example. Sets the example, and I've learned from his example. I'm here to serve. Amen. But there's only so many people he can serve. Can he serve every one of you in the same week? No. He'll say, Kirk, go serve these people because I didn't get to them. You know? I can only get to so many, right? A good church is when each and every one of us are serving one another. And by the way, when you serve somebody else, meaning you help them out in an area they have need, there's just something about it builds a connection. And now you feel connected. You feel a better relationship. And then you do it because you love them and you care for them, not because you have to. Serving one another. In closing here, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as personal Savior, if you've never admitted that you're a sinner in need of Christ for your salvation, many times it's because that pride of life kicks in. You don't want to admit, I'm not a sinner. Well, I messed up, but I didn't kill anybody. I'm better than that guy. Well, that's prideful. You need to admit that you are a sinner in need of salvation. And you're not worthy of going to heaven. I'm not either. Praise the Lord, I'm not either. But he offers salvation to us. So in closing, church, let's stay on course for 2022 with our spiritual growth. Be excited about our sure future in the Lord. And let's serve others. Let's pray.